The latest nursing news and information brought to you by the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing's Future. This is Nursing Notes Live. Nursing Notes Live is an audio extension of the national award-winning monthly e-digest Nursing Notes, which highlights examples of nurses creating improved patient outcomes and transforming the new standard of care. You can subscribe to receive Nursing Notes updates at www.discovernursing.com. Each month's Nursing Notes content is accompanied by two episodes of Nursing Notes Live, which expands on the content and provides you greater insights into the topics presented in the written format. You can listen to previous episodes of Nursing Notes Live on our podcast player at discovernursing.com and subscribe to the podcast series on iTunes. I'm your host, Jamie Davis. This month on the Nursing Notes Live podcast, we look at nurses using technology in practice and education. In this special panel discussion episode, we talk with Mike Jacobs, professor and director of the University of South Alabama Simulation Program, and Pam Johnson, a professor with the University of South Alabama College of Nursing, Adult Health. We spoke to them this month for the Modern Nurse article about the integration of technology to the way you approach medical education. Here's that discussion with Mike and Pam. Hi, Mike and Pam. It's great to have you both here on Nursing Notes Live this week, and it's great to really have this topic that we're going to be talking about today. Before we get into that, though, I think I'll start with you, Pam, and just ask you to share a little bit about your background and why you wanted to become a nurse.
Hi, Jamie. I'm glad to be here today. Just wanted to tell you that I became a nurse because just the cliche thing, I always liked helping people and taking care of people. And I always enjoyed, you know, the sciences. I was afraid to go into nursing because I was kind of a queasy, weak-stomached, fainty kind of student. But as I was involved in it, I got more comfortable with it and really enjoy my profession.
Mike, how about you?
Well, I was influenced mostly by my mom, who is also a nurse. And prior to becoming a nurse, I spent 8 years in the United States Marine Corps, and I was able to observe Navy corpsmen and medics performing their duties, and that had a major influence on my decision to become a nurse.
Excellent. So you both teach at the University of South Alabama, and we're talking about using simulation and other technology in nursing education. And this is an exciting topic because really I think this has changed the face of how we teach nurses the things they need to learn to become a nurse in their nursing school programs. And you guys seem to be leading the way in many ways. So I think if we'll start with you, Mike, just kind of share with us a little bit about what you do as part of the USA Simulation Program.
Well, I am the director of the USA Simulation Program, and it's a rather large program with approximately 35,000 student encounters per year in the simulation labs. We are an interdisciplinary program, and we meet the clinical educational needs of students in not only nursing, but also medicine and all of the allied health professions. We have both simulator-based educational experiences as well as standardized patient experiences for all of our students. And so that really, it keeps me very busy, you know, managing the logistics and upkeep of the equipment and schedules, and I love working with the faculty to meet the student objectives. So it really takes a team effort, and that's what I'm all about.
Pam, what do you see as one of the things that helps you when you're teaching as a professor the students in that program? How does simulation integrate with what you do?
Simulation is very important in making our classes more student-centered and reality-based. Over the 8 years that I've been teaching in undergraduate and graduate courses, I've seen that education has changed to be more student-centered because, you know, we used to just stand there and we would lecture, you know, and all. And so over the 8 years, I've seen a transition to more active learning, strategies and instead of just telling students what normal findings are and what abnormals are, actually allowing them to go into simulation and experience those things and see how they respond to safely care and critically think about how to respond to, changing patient statuses. And so this just really allows them to experience things that are in a safe environment rather than, running into a problem in the clinical setting for the first time.
Do you find, Pam, that the students accept the technology? I think, we consider people that are in school now, especially the younger students, to be very techno-savvy in most cases. Do they integrate well with the simulators?
The students really do adjust well to the simulators. At times, people talk about, having a hard time getting into the mindset that this is and treating it like it's a real patient. So suspending disbelief is kind of the coined term. But we do take it very seriously. We prepare our students for what the objective is for the situation, and they really do take it seriously, and they work hard together and building, teamwork and using each other's expertise to provide the best care for the simulated patient.
I think in the beginning, 8-10 years ago, the students did have a little bit of a hard time walking into a simulated room and treating it like it was a patient. But I think with the increased use of simulation in all of our courses and clinical specialties, most of that has gone away, and the students very readily accept the technology. They treat it seriously, but they also are allowed to have a good time. Some simulations are very low key and low stress for them, and they're able to learn in a clinical simulated environment, which I think has been hugely productive for the students.
Mike, I see a lot of schools out there that have simulators of various levels of technology, but they don't often have the skill set to use them appropriately and use them to the fullest extent of their capabilities. But you seem at University of South Alabama, with your position as director of the simulation program, to really have that kind of under wraps as far as getting that simulation program out there for the students to use. What do you think is the biggest hurdle that keeps other schools from using these simulators as effectively?
Well, I think it's probably resources, Jamie. That is a huge concern for many programs. I also think that many times in the beginning of using simulation, faculty think that they have to make things complicated. And we like to use the approach of just keeping it very simple, having just two or three learning objectives. And that way the faculty are successful with the simulation and the students are successful with the simulation. And then after they experience those successes, then we build on that, and the scenarios become more complex, the patients become more acute, and the faculty are allowed to, slowly build into that over several semesters, and their comfort level increases using simulation as an educational tool. In addition, we have in our simulation program, we have 7 full-time faculty that do nothing but simulation, working with both faculty and students. And they have a wide variety of specialty areas, everything from critical care, ER, women's health, labor and delivery, pediatrics. And the professionals that are in the simulation program, the faculty, are not only nurses, nurse practitioners, but they're also PAs and physicians. So our students get to experience, and our faculty get to experience working in that type of interprofessional practice.
And that sounds really great. And I think, Pam, from the faculty side of things, it must be very interesting to see all of this technology come along. But I wonder, you know, I know as a faculty member myself in a school setting that it is, so there's a whole lot of, well, that's not the way I learned. And when I was in nursing school, I hear these stories that always start with that sentence, when I was in nursing school. Do you think that that is still a problem, or do you think that that's something that largely has been overcome for your school?
I think that has been overcome at our school. We realize that healthcare is constantly changing, and our students have changed, and technology has changed in so many ways in education and at the bedside. And so we really do have to be flexible and stay up to date and be able to, you know, incorporate the technology, understand how to use it to really get the students into deeper levels of learning and application and critical thinking. So I really don't hear people here talking about how we used to do things. We really are looking for ways to improve our education, and we have a lot of great resources both at the College of Nursing and at the University of South Alabama that help us to do those things.
Well, I was going to say, kind of building on what Pam just said, you know, we do everything that's literature-based, and it's all best practice for the current time. So it will evolve over time as best practice changes. And I think that we make that very clear to our students and our faculty who are coming through that, you know, we're not necessarily teaching them to do something the way that we learned when we were students and early in our practice. It is evidence-based. That is what we want them to carry into the clinical area when they're dealing with real patients. And so the best way to do that is to practice using that approach.
So, Mike, what are some of the challenges that you see facing you as you look forward at what technology is making available in the way of simulation?
Well, there are a lot of new technologies coming available. Some of them are virtual simulation. The fidelity of the simulators is increasing dramatically. And I think one of the challenges that I have is evaluating those different technologies, trying to figure out, you know, can we meet the objectives of our program for our students and ultimately for our patients by incorporating a particular technology into the curriculum. So, you know, having all of the bells and whistles is nice, but if it doesn't really come into the if it doesn't assist in achieving the objectives, then we're just kind of wasting our time and our resources in terms of money.
Moving on, Pam, what do you think is the opportunity that is offered by this type of technology moving forward? There's a lot of things that are changing so rapidly, like Mike said, and new technologies coming, but it also offers really unique opportunities for nurses to become even more involved in those technological aspects of patient care. How do you think this prepares them for all the new technologies that nurses see in the workplace now?
Well, I think that the simulation and it actually allows students to be exposed to situations that they might not see during their clinical rotations, and also the chance to experience things that they may not see during their clinical experiences, especially undergraduate and preparing the master's level nurse practitioner students, you know, to perform high-risk procedures. For our students to be able to experience a situation that is high risk or low volume, that where their decisions and their actions and are so important to the outcome for the patient. So this is a real low risk place for our students to practice and to get immediate feedback and to learn and try again, you know, repeat the situation, the scenario, and see how they can improve their performance. So I really think this will bleed on over into the clinical area when they are hired as professionals so that they, you know, have a general idea of how to assess a situation and how to respond in the best way to provide safe care.
Mike, There are also virtual simulators. I mean, I think up till now, people really thought we've been talking mostly about the mechanical simulators that are out there that, you know, the mannequins that talk and breathe and have blood pressures and all the things that they can do with them now. But there are opportunities to use virtual simulation. And how does that integrate into what you do?
Well, we constantly evaluate a number of companies that have virtual simulation products available. We have piloted several of these programs, and we're currently in the process of evaluating which ones work best for our students. And it may be that we have incorporation of several products for students at different levels throughout the programs. Virtual simulation is relatively new, and it's a very rapidly expanding technology, and I think it will probably be the future of most simulation, especially for online students and continuing education, things like that. So I think that we're going to see the use of virtual simulation expand greatly over the next couple of years.
Pam, as we kind of wind down here, what do you see moving forward? What's on the horizon that excites you about how you're going to be teaching students in the future, maybe 5-10 years from now?
I agree with Mike on the expansion of the virtual simulation and its use with students. We have a huge, at University of South Alabama, we have a really large online graduate nursing program. So our students are all over the world. And using the virtual simulation with avatars and assigning these to our students to interact with, it allows them to work on, we introduce those like in the first semester, and they continue to build on their complexity of interactions throughout the curriculum. But it does allow them to, interact with a patient who has problems and who responds to their questions and interactions that are in a real lifelike situation. So the virtual simulation is a great way that I see us really getting into that more with online and our in our traditional courses as well, because it really allows for good individual assessment of our students' skills.
Mike, looking forward in the same way, what excites you? What's on the horizon that you see coming that is something that you're excited to kind of get your hands on once it becomes a reality?
Well, I would really like to see simulators that that actively engage the students almost autonomously. And I do think that in the next few years, we're going to see that. That will definitely increase the interaction that students have. You know, we as faculty members can be the voice of the simulator, and that will probably always continue in many scenarios. But allowing the students to participate with those higher fidelity simulators that have the ability to move really interact with the student, I think is going to be a huge advantage.
So the final question for you both, and I'll let Pam go first here. What is that piece of advice that you've had carried with you throughout your career as a nurse? Maybe you got it in nursing school or got it early on in your career, but it's that nugget that you've taken with you that's helped you throughout your career.
I think the thing that is most important in my practice and for our students to understand is to remember that the patient is the center of our focus, and to always, no matter how complex and technological our interactions may be, to always remember to treat the patient and their family or the community, you know, as our main focus. So stay in patient-centered and keep them, as the most important part of our jobs.
Mike, how about you?
I think for me, it is to always continue learning and remember that, you know, as technologies change, as knowledge grows and expands, that we have to keep updated with that through continuing education, through practice, you know, reading the research that is out there, evaluating that, and figuring out how can we implement that into our practice. I think that's the biggest thing. I agree with Pam that it should ultimately focus on patient outcomes and interacting with those patients and their families.
Stay tuned for our next Nursing Notes Live episode with Nurse Ryan Werblow, who is a nurse anesthetist with American Anesthesiology of North Carolina at the Wake Med Raleigh Hospital location in Raleigh, North Carolina, as we talk to him about his career as a CRNA and his advice to student nurses. You'll find this and other episodes of Nursing Notes Live in the podcast area on iTunes, as well as our podcast player on discovernursing.com. Nursing Notes Live is produced for the Johnson & Johnson Campaign for Nursing's Future by Medicast Productions. All rights reserved.